سنخوض معاركنا معهم وسنمضي جموعا نردعهم ونعيد الحق المغتصب وبكل القوة ندفعهم. سنخوض معاركنا معهم وسنمضي جموعا نردعهم ونعيد الحق المغتصب وبكل القوة ندفعهم وبكل القوة ندفعهم. بسلاح الحق البتار سنحرر أرض الأحرار ونعيد الطهر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم لك الحمد كله، اللهم لك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا، ولك الحمد حتى ترضى. As to what follows, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His mercy. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evils of our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whomsoever is left to go astray, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity, there is no God worthy of any type of worship except Allah. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave, His servant and final messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of reward. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I would like to commence this evening's presentation with a Quranic recital from Surah Al-Baqarah, three verses from verses 183 up to 186.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين، فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us many, many blessings that we will never be able to enumerate. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, never will you be able to count them. From amongst the blessings that He has given us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for us stations or seasons or stops for us to reflect and to remember the purpose of our existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these seasons or these chances to remember Him. So we have, for example, daily stops. We have 5 daily stops and they are salat. We have, for example, a weekly stop, which is the Jumu'ah prayer. We have also yearly stops, such as that of Hajj. And we have the yearly stop of Ramadan. And just as the ad goes, stop, revive, and survive. We stop at these stops to revive our iman, to survive the hardships of the dunya and the akhirah. We are approaching the month of Ramadan, and at the moment we are in the month of Sha'ban. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would prepare himself for the month of Ramadan by fasting most of Sha'ban, as Aisha radiallahu anha informs us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never fasted a full month except for the month of Ramadan. And he never fasted in any month more so than he did in the month of Sha'ban. And we find the pious predecessors of the past, they used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6 months for them to attain Ramadan. They used to say, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. And then for the other 6 months, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the actions that they did in Ramadan. What a glorious month it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also favored certain times and certain places over others. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He favored the third part of the night, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the third part of the night in a manner which befits Himself, and He asks, who is calling upon me so I can answer him? Who will ask me so I can provide for him? And who is seeking forgiveness so I can forgive them? From amongst the most virtuous of days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He favored Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored from amongst the days of the year, the day of Arafah, whereby if a pilgrim goes to Hajj and he does not stand at Arafah, his Hajj is not accepted and he has to come back and perform it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also favored certain places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored Mecca, where the Quran was revealed for 13 years. Whereby, if you go to Mecca and you pray in the holy mosque there, the mosque where the Kaaba is, one prayer in that mosque is equivalent to 100,000 prayers. Subhanallah, where in the universe are you going to find a place to attain so much rewards and blessings? From amongst the places, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that if a person prays in his mosque in Medina, that the prayer is equivalent to 1,000 prayers. And if a person prays in Masjid al-Aqsa, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate, if a person prays in Masjid al-Aqsa, he will have 500 rewards or prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also favored certain people over others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored Nuh. He favored Adam. He favored the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the descendants of Ibrahim. So he is from amongst those who is favored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored certain prophets over others, and they are known as ulul azmi min ar-rusul. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Therefore be patient, and the addresses to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as did the messengers of strong will. And they are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa alayhim as-salam. As for the greatest month in the year, the month of Ramadan, what shows that this month is so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal the best of scriptures, the seal of the scriptures, during this month. And if we have a look at the Quran, the most blessed book on the face of this earth, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it through the most noblest of messengers, of angels, Angel Jibreel. He revealed it the Quran through Angel Jibreel on Laylatul Qadr, the most blessed night of the year. He revealed it to the seal of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He revealed it in the best of months, the month of Ramadan. He revealed it in the most sacred of lands, the land of Mecca. He revealed it to the best of people, the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he revealed it in the best of languages, the language of Arabic. So, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he deems to be, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers, or he chooses, and he considers great, then we too should consider it as great. But unfortunately, not all Muslims honor the month of Ramadan as it should be honored. And if we were to group up the Muslims, we can actually group the Muslims up into six categories, six groups. The first group, and I'll mention the best of them first and the worst of them last. The first of these groups are the ones who look forward to Ramadan, and as soon as Ramadan begins, they begin with the acts of worship. Siyam, Qiyam, standing up in prayers, going to the masjid, reading the Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, charity, sadaqah, and so on and so forth. This is the first group. They know how much this month is in terms of reward, how glory it is. The second group are those that enter through into Ramadan and they exit out of Ramadan, but there's no change. The first group, they exit and there's a big change in them. The first ones, they just enter, they don't do anything extra. They just do the bare minimum and that's it. The third group are those who don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except in Ramadan. And as the scholars of Islam have, many scholars have put it, they call them pagans. Because they are worshipping Ramadan as opposed to worshipping the Lord of Ramadan. Is not the Lord of Ramadan also the Lord of Sha'ban, Shawwal, Muharram, Dhul Qi'dah, Dhul Hijjah? I say to these people and others, if we were to go to the graveyards right now, and we gave an option to the inhabitants of the graves, to the Muslims, to get up and pray two units of prayer, just two units. How much would they love to just pray two units? But can they? It's too late for them. Alhamdulillah, we are living in a very peaceful society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us much in terms of wealth and health. So why don't we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late? And then you have the people who fast only from food and drink. That's it. To them, fasting is only about eating and not eating and drinking. And so they go around tale-bearing, backstabbing, slandering, gossip. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not abandon evil speech and acting upon it, then to Allah is no need for him, for that person in other words, to leave off his food and drink. The next group are those who transform the nights into days and the days into nights. What do they do? Throughout the day they sleep. They don't pray on time. And then during the evening, they'll spend it watching cable TV, hanging out here or there, engaging in all sorts of actions which is of no benefit to them. As for the sixth group, they're the worst of the lot. The ones, they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in Ramadan and not outside of Ramadan. They are heedless. They pay no attention to the virtues of salat, of siyam, of qiyam. I want to remind these people of a story. One of our pious predecessors, his name is Abu Ishaq. A man comes to him and he says to him, "Ya Abu Ishaq, I'm a person who commits a lot of sinful actions. And I don't find that I have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within me. Can you give me some words of admonishment? So if perhaps my heart would lean a bit and perhaps I would turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the shaykh says to him, "I'm going to give you 5 points to consider. The next time you come to do an evil action, I want you to remember these points." He said, "The first point is, if you've made up your mind and you're going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't do it on his land. Do it elsewhere." And so this young man, he says, "But everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this land is his." He says, "If you know this, then why are you disobeying Allah?" He said, "This is the first one. As for the second one, when you've made up your mind to do a sinful action whilst on his land, then do not eat from his wealth. It's rude. How could you eat from his food and from his drink and you are on his earth?" So he says, "This is the second one. As for the third one," he says to him, "when you come to do a sin and you're going to do it on his land and you're going to do it whilst eating from his wealth, then the least you can do is do it away from him. Go hide somewhere." He says, "Where am I to hide? Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hear and see the footsteps of the black ant under the black rock in the dark night?" So he said, "This is the third one. As for the fourth one, know that one day an angel is going to come and take away your soul. When that angel comes, refuse, don't go with him." He said, "And will he listen to me?" "Of course not." This was the fourth one. As for the fifth one, he said, "When you die, they're going to be angels, stern and severe, and they're going to drag you to the hellfire. When they do so, again refuse and say you are not going with them." He says, "And would they listen to me on that day?" "Of course not." He said to the shaykh, "Enough, enough, I have heard enough." And so he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, siyam, what does it mean? Siyam linguistically means to abstain from something. We find, for example, in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, When he told her not to speak to the people, she said, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. I have vowed to Ar-Rahman to fast. The fasting here means to abstain from talking to the people. So from a linguistic point of view, siyam is to refrain. Technically now, according to the Sharia of Islam, when we talk about siyam, siyam is an act of worship, ibadah, dedicated to Allah, whereby a Muslim abstains from the things that nullify the fasting from the break of dawn till sunset, coupled with an intention. This is siyam. So, what is the proof about fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He addresses the believers, because non-Muslims are not required to fast. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it has been prescribed for those before you. So it's not a new concept. Also we find in the following verse, or the verses, he says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever witnesses the month, he should fast. There is no option. So this is the proof from the Quran that fasting is a pillar of Islam. Secondly, from the Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bunya al-Islamu ala khams," that Islam has been built upon five pillars, and he mentioned one of them is Sawm Ramadan, to fast the month of Ramadan. And we also have a consensus of the ulama, ijma', all of the scholars of Islam agree that fasting is compulsory. And so, having established three types of proofs, whoever says that fasting is not compulsory, that we are living in the 21st century, and words to that effect, we say to them, you have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the rewards of fasting, what are the virtues? What do we get in return for this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan imanan, out of belief, belief that it is obligatory, belief that you will be accountable, you will be punished if you do not fast, belief that you'll be rewarded. Imanan wahtisaba, seeking the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whatever sins he has put forward, all of this will be forgiven. Do you want more than this hadith as a virtue? Our past sins to be forgiven? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informs us that the time between the five prayers and two consecutive Jumu'ah, Friday and Friday, and Ramadan to Ramadan, in another narration, from one Umrah to another Umrah, they expiate, they wipe out the sins that is between them, for as long as the major sins are avoided. For as long as the major sins are, that's the condition, are avoided. Also, when the month of Ramadan begins, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us, the gates of paradise are open and the gates of the hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained. As for the devils, they are the chiefs of the devils, maradatul shayateen. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that in paradise there is a door, it's called ar-rayyan. And on the day of judgment, it will be called out, where are those who used to fast? And so they will stand, and they will enter through the door will close, and none except for those who used to fast will enter through this door of Ar-Rayyan. Also, in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of the righteous actions of the children of Adam are multiplied. A good deed is counted as 10 good deeds, up to 700 good deeds, except the fasting which is for me. and I will give the reward for it. For the fasting person, he leaves his desire and food for my sake. For the one who fasts, there are two joys. The joy of breaking your fast, and the joy when he meets his Lord. The smell emanating from the mouth of a fasting person is more better in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk. Two joys. The joy when you come to break your fast. You see, in the daytime, food and drink was haram. And then you reach out for that which is halal. And you are happy. And you enjoy the food and the drink. And then on the day of judgment, you meet your Lord and you have fasted. So there are two joys for the fasting person. Let me give you a quick history about Ramadan and how it came about, or fasting and how it came about. Fasting the month of Ramadan became compulsory upon the Muslims in the second year of migration, of the hijrah, of the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. It was a Monday. It was the month of Sha'ban, the month that we are in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he fasted 9 Ramadans. So, was there any compulsory fasting before this? The answer is yes. There was the fasting of Ashura. The fasting of the 10th day of the first Islamic calendar month called Muharram. It was compulsory for the Muslims to fast this month. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Medina, he found the Jews that were fasting. And he said to them, what is the reason why you are fasting? They said, this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa from Fir'aun. And so we fast in remembrance of this day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We have more right over Musa to you, because we are more followers of Musa than you are. So we will fast it. And so he commanded the Muslims to fast it. Also, we have in the hadith found in Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a messenger to the people, to the Ansar, and he sent a message to them to say that whoever woke up and they have not eaten yet, then to continue their fast. And whoever has woken up and they have broken their fast, they have had breakfast, then for them to cease eating for the remainder of the day. In the beginning, when Ramadan was first legislated, the Muslims had a choice. They could either fast or instead pay to feed the poor or needy for every day that they couldn't fast. So there was a choice, as we read in the Quran. And then the verse which gave you that choice was abrogated, mansukha, with the verses that came after, which said, مَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Whoever witnesses the month, he should or he must fast it. So what are the signs that indicate the beginning of the month of Ramadan? The first sign is the sighting of the new moon. This is called the Hilal in Arabic. So if the moon of Ramadan is sighted, then the Muslims are required to fast. If, for example, we cannot see the moon, either with our eyes, or binoculars, or a telescope, which are permissible, then we count the month of Sha'ban to be 30 days. Because in Islam, a month can only ever be 29 or 30 days. It cannot be 28 and it cannot be 31. In the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صُومُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ وَأَفْطِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast when you see it, in other words, a new moon, and break your fast when you see it. And if you cannot see it, for example, it's a cloudy day, Then count Sha'ban 30 days. What about if we have different locations whereby in one country they have sighted the moon and in another country they haven't sighted it yet? Do we take by the sighting of that moon, of that country, or not? There is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. One opinion says, as Sayyid Sabiq mentions in his book Fiqh al-Sunnah, that he says that the majority of the scholars say that it doesn't matter if the new moon has been sighted in different locations. It is obligatory upon all the Muslims to fast. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi." He gave a general statement, fast when you see it, without qualifying this statement. And the other opinion is that every group of countries or areas have their own sighting. And perhaps this is the stronger opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And I remind you of the hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "As-sawmu yawma tasumun." Fasting is the day you all fast collectively. "Wal-fitru yawma tuftirun." And you break your fast when all of you collectively break your fast, and the adha and the sacrifice is when you all do so collectively. So, upon whom is it obligatory to fast? First of all, you have to be a Muslim. You have to be sane. Males and females who have attained the age of puberty. And so the question arises, what are the signs of puberty according to the teachings of Islam? There are four signs. The first sign is the growth of pubic hair. Secondly, reaching the age of 15. So whichever comes first, you have reached the age of accountability in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third sign is if a person has wet dreams. And in the case of a woman, when menstruation begins. These are the four signs. If any of these things happen, you will be accountable for your actions in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that mean that children are not encouraged to fast? We say no, they are encouraged to fast. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to make their children fast, and whenever the children begin to complain of thirst and hunger, what did they used to do? They used to give them a stuffed toy made out of cotton to play with and distract them from thinking about the hunger and from the thirst. And this is up to the man of the house to train the children in that house. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي بَيْتِ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. And the man of the house is the caretaker of those who are under his care. So we should get our children accustomed to fasting the month of Ramadan. What are the pillars of fasting? First of all, the first pillar that I want to mention is the niyyah, intention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not determine to fast before the fajr, if you do not make the intention before the fajr to fast, then there is no fasting for him, you have to make up that day. The scholars of Islam have differed as to the intention. Is it sufficient to just make one intention at the beginning of the month and say, I intend to fast all of the month of Ramadan? As per Imam Malik, this is permissible. The majority of the ulama, the majority of the scholars, they say that intention is required before every fajr. And this, as I said, appears to be the stronger opinion. And alhamdulillah, the intention, the place of the intention is the heart. We do not articulate, we do not utter the intention. Because imagine that we had to, and then one day we forgot. Then we have to make up that day. So what is it? What do I mean by intention? Intention is, for example, if you set your clock to wake up at suhoor, that's your intention. If you go to sleep thinking that tomorrow is one of the days of Ramadan, that is your intention. And similar actions. However, if you want to fast outside of Ramadan, the option of fasting, no intention is required. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast other days than Ramadan, Mondays and Thursdays, and the 3 days from every month known as the white days, Ayyamul Bid, fasting the day of Ashura, fasting the 6 days of Shawwal, fasting the day of Arafah. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he walks in on Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, and he says to her, "Hal indakum shay?" Do you have anything? She says, "We don't have anything to eat." So he says to her, "Idan inni sa'im." Therefore, I am fasting. We learn from this that he came in after the Fajr. And he said to her, therefore, I am fasting. However, if you want to fast days such as the 6 white days. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and then he fasts the 6 days that come after them, it is as if he has fasted the whole year. So if you, for example, it's Dhuhr time and you haven't eaten or drinking, and you say to yourself that I want to fast this day, and I want it to be counted as from amongst the days of Shawwal, we say do another day as well. Because the Prophet ﷺ said whoever fasts Ramadan and the 6 days of Shawwal, they have to be complete days, not part days. The second pillar of fasting is to abstain from the things that nullify the fast, that break the fast. And they are a number of things. Number one, eating, drinking, smoking, chewing gum, deliberately break your fast. And so we have to fast from the break of dawn, yani fajr, right up to the maghrib, sunset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Listen to this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat and drink until you clearly distinguish the white thread from the black thread of the dawn. Then fast until the night appears. So one of the companions, his name is Adi ibn Hatim, he took the white thread and the black thread literally. So what did he do? He grabbed 2 threads, a white one, a black one, and he placed them under his pillow. And he slept. And during the night, he just check, is it time? Do I stop? Do I eat? Do I go? So he found it a difficult task. He interpreted this ayah incorrectly. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, he told him his dilemma. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, you must have a very long pillow. He said, what is meant by the verse here, the white thread and the black thread, is the blackness of the night and the whiteness of the day. Now, anybody who breaks their fast deliberately during the days of Ramadan, what do they have to do? The ulama said they have to make up the day only. Some scholars go to the extent and they say, you don't even make up the day because Ramadan has a fixed period of time and you chose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there is no atonement. But to be on the safer side, we should fast that day. Also, the second thing that breaks your fast or a person's fast is marital intimacy between spouses. Even if no ejaculation occurs. Now you might be saying, what are these terms you are using? Do you not feel any shame or shyness or... Wallahi, who am I in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was more shy than a virgin in her room? And he is the one who taught us all of these things. So if a person sleeps with his wife during the daylight hours of Ramadan, not the evening is permissible, then that person has to do the kafara, the atonement. What is the atonement? The answer is found in hadith, found in Bukhari and Muslim. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, halakt. I am ruined, I am destroyed, a messenger of Allah. He says to him, Wama ma ahlakaka? What has happened? What has ruined you? He says, I have slept with my wife during the days of Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Do you have a slave to set free? He says to him, I haven't got a slave. He says to him, Are you able to fast 2 consecutive months? He says, No, I do not have the ability to fast 2 consecutive months. He said, Can you feed 60 people? He said, I do not have the means to feed 60 people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sits down, and then a basket of dates is brought forward to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Where is that man who is ruined? So he gives him the dates, and he says, Here, take this and give this as the sadaqah. And then he says to him, عَلَىٰ أَفْقَرَ مِنِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ To someone who is more poor than I am, وَاللَّهِ By Allah, there is nobody between these two mountains that is more poorer than myself. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, take it, give it to your family. From this hadith we learn that if a person sleeps with his wife during the days of Ramadan, the first thing that he has to do is set a slave free. And I don't think this is applicable in Australia. Secondly, fasting 2 consecutive months. And thirdly, feeding 60 people. If a person who is fasting 2 consecutive months misses one day without a legitimate reason, excuse, a valid excuse according to the Sharia, then he has to do those days again. The only legitimate excuse is, for example, if a person has a severe illness or they are days of Eid. And for every time that person commits this act in Ramadan, a separate kafara is due. The third action that nullifies fasting is deliberate vomiting or induced vomiting. So if a person places their finger down their throat or they smell something that prompts them to throw up, or they sniff something or whatever, then that person's fasting is invalid and he has to make up that fast again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever vomits accidentally while fasting, then there is no making up needed. And if he vomits deliberately, then he should make it up. The hadith is found in Abu Dawud and it's sahih. So if you do it deliberately, then you have to make it up. But if it is accidental, it's not in your hands, there is no atonement for this. From amongst the things that will break your fast is menstruation with regards to women and postnatal bleeding. Al-hayd wa nifas. Even if a woman experiences this a few minutes or moments before the sun sets, we say your fast is broken and you have to make up that day. And your reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, having said this, if a woman, for example, is not going to fast for this reason, we say to her and we remind her, do not eat in front of your children and drink in front of them, for they do not know what you are going through. So do it away from the eyes of the people, so no one can say that you are not fasting, and of course you've got a valid reason. Also, if a woman's menstruation ceases prior to the Fajr, prior to the Adhan of Fajr, but she did not perform her ghusl, and then the Fajr time came, she can perform her ghusl after the Fajr and continue her fasting, and there is no problem with this. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. If a woman is pregnant, and during her pregnant, she experiences some bleeding, this is not menstruation blood. This kind of blood is known as istihada. And this does not invalidate the fasting. The third type of blood that invalidates the fasting is the nifas. Postnatal bleeding after a woman gives birth to a child. The maximum period is 40 days. As per the minimum period, there is no minimum. As soon as a woman is purified from this type of blood, then she must go about with her fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next thing that will invalidate your fasting is apostasy, kufr. If a person commits an act of kufr, saying or action, then his fasting is invalid and he has to make up that day. If a person takes an injection, a nutritional injection, such as a dip, such as the drips, then these things take place of food and drink, and that fasting has to be made up for. Also, from amongst the things which invalidate fasting is masturbation, which is of course haram in Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the proof to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدَعُوا طَعَامَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ, that he leaves off his food and his desire. And in this person's case, he did not leave off his desire, and so he has broken his fast. And the scholars said, and this is the correct opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that they only have to make up that day. Not like the situation of fasting 2 months. So these are the seven things that will nullify fasting. As for things like puffers that are used for asthma, these things, the ulama have two opinions. One opinion is that they break your fast. The other opinion, and that seems to be the correct opinion, is that they don't break your fast. Because it is not food or drink, it is compressed air that is going into your lungs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, I remind you that if you're performing your wudu, not to exaggerate with the sniffing of the water, known as douching. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was teaching us wudu, he said, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Exaggerate with the douching, except if you are fasting. However, if the water falls down into your throat accidentally, then there is no harm and you continue your fasting. Next thing I want to talk about is who is allowed to break their fast. There are certain people that have concessions, and this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is an elderly man or woman, a feeble person, an old man, woman. If it is difficult for them to fast, all they have to do is feed for every day a poor or needy person. Secondly, a sick person. Now, sickness is divided into three categories. First of all, we have a chronic illness, such as cancer, for example, or sicknesses which a person, or illnesses that a person has that he does not get cured from, that he needs to be constantly taking medication or food and drink. This type of person gives, he feeds a poor or needy person for every day that they miss. The second type of person is a person who has a light sickness, like a headache, a cold, which fasting from food and drinking does not exaggerate, does not make worse. This person is required to fast. The third category is if a person who is ill and the illness needs some food or drink, and that if they do not eat or drink, that sickness will be prolonged, or it's detrimental to their health, then that person should not fast. So these are the three types when it comes to the sickness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to harm ourselves. يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرِ. Allah subhanahu wants for you ease, and He does not want for you hardship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Verily Allah towards you is Rahim. He is all merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not throw yourselves into destruction. So these texts, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. Let there be no harming or causing of harm. So this is where we get the proofs for these things. And the person who is sick, and he can get better, or she can get better after Ramadan, they know they'll get better by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should make up those days. The next person who has a concession is the traveler, the musafir. If a person travels, There is again difference of opinion amongst the scholars. One opinion says that if the traveling does not cause hardship, then they should fast. And this is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, and Malik. The second opinion is it doesn't matter whether it causes hardship or not, you should break your fast. And this is the opinion of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And the third opinion is that of the Zahiri school of thought, which actually died out in the 8th century, whereby they say that the fasting, that to break your fast is actually obligatory. As for the correct opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is to take the middle, to take the balanced stance. And that is, if your traveling will cause you difficulty and hardship, then break your fast. You have a concession from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If no harm, then simply continue with your fast. And some people might say, but you know, nowadays we have air-conditioned cars and all this luxury. We say to these people, so what? وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't forget that one day we're going to have air-conditioned cars. He mentioned traveling in general. Also, with regards to, if a person, for example, is traveling, they are not allowed to break their fast until they leave the city, the houses that they are in. And the scholars have differed. Some scholars, they said, you have to have traveled some 80 kilometers before you can begin to be classified as a traveler. And other scholars, they said, whatever the tradition or the culture of a people deemed to be traveling, then you are a traveler and you can break your fasting. And as soon as you come back to the city that you live in, you must continue your fasting. And there's more to this, but we'll leave this maybe for the questions and answers. The next thing, the ones who have concessions, is the woman who is pregnant or the woman who is breastfeeding. She is allowed to break her fast. Whether she fears for herself or for her child, or for her infant or embryo, the fetus, whether she fears for that or not, she is allowed to break her fast. But we have a difference of opinion regarding what should she do after Ramadan. And we have four opinions. The first opinion is that she should feed only after Ramadan. This is the opinion of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. The second opinion of that of Abu Hanifa, he says it's the opposite of the first one, you have to make up those days. The third opinion is that a pregnant woman makes up the day, and the breastfeeding woman feeds and makes up the day. This is the opinion of Imam Malik. And the correct opinion, and that which is closest to the sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that she is compared to the ill person, and she makes up that day only. As for some of the practices that a Muslim should observe in keeping with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ during this noble, generous and blessed month, the first thing I remind you of is suhoor, the pre-dawn meal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً وَفِي رِوَايَةً فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً He said, take up your pre-dawn meal, for verily there is a blessing in the meal itself, and there is a blessing in the time itself. And the sunnah is to delay the suhoor. So if you come back from your taraweeh prayer, your night prayers, and you say, I'm having suhoor, this is not suhoor. This is just going for seconds. Zayd ibn Thabit had suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas, one of the companions, he says to him, how long was it between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's suhoor and the Fajr prayer? How long was that period? And of course they never had watches back then. He said it was as long as it takes to read 50 verses. And the Arabs used to do this. If they wanted to talk about time, they would say as long as it takes to milk a cow, as long as it takes to milk a camel. I don't know if there's a difference. But I guess we have to ask the Bedouins. So even if you have to get up to have a glass of water, then you have fulfilled this sunnah. Also, from amongst the practices is to hasten in breaking your fast. So you break your fast as soon as the sun sets. Also, from amongst the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to break your fast on dates, on fresh dates. These are known as rutab, moist, fresh dates. If these are not available, then you break your fast on dry dates. If these are not available, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that we sip some sips of water. And also it is from the sunnah to make dua. And the best dua and the most authentic dua to make at the time of breaking your fast, as per the hadith found in Abu Dawood, contains four phrases. ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. I remind you also of some other issues related to fasting. If a person, for example, eats or drinks during the day of Ramadan forgetfully, what happens? To these people, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fed you and given you drink and you continue your day. As per the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّمَا قَدْ أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَأَسْقَاهُ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. But if you see a person in front of you and that person is eating or that person is drinking, do we leave them and say, oh, how lucky that person is, Allah loves that person? No, we don't do this. What do? We say to them, ya akhi, ya ukhti, did you forget it's Ramadan? Because maybe that person is not doing it because of concession or forgetting. Maybe that person is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. This is one of the things also I want to mention. Also from amongst the issues, if a person has a wet dream during the day, does that person's fasting become invalid? No, it doesn't become invalid, and that person's fasting is correct. As for using the miswak, the Muslim toothbrush, is this permissible? The answer is, yes, it is permissible, whether it be in the morning or in the afternoon. Some scholars, they say that you're not allowed to use it in the evening or in the afternoon. And they base it on a hadith which says, brush your teeth in the morning, but do not brush the teeth in the afternoon. The hadith, the scholars of hadith, they say, this hadith is extremely weak, it's da'if. So you can use the miswak, but you're not allowed to use the miswak which contains the flavor. You know these new miswaks? They have a mint flavor or lemon flavor. You're not allowed to use this. Are you allowed to brush your teeth with a toothpaste? It is better to avoid this. However, if you know that brushing your teeth and none of the toothpaste is going to enter into your stomach, then some scholars have allowed this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But I remind you, if you're trying to get rid of the smell, remember that the smell is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that smell, it's not emanating from your mouth, but it's emanating from your stomach. So you will not be able to remove it anyway. Also, with regards to non-nutritional injections, penicillin, and taking of blood samples, this is all allowable and does not break the person's fast. Tasting food. If a woman, for example, has a husband who is very particular about his food, and you want to please him, and as the saying goes, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So you want to please your husband, and you want to make sure the salt is good, you can taste it. It's not desirable, but this has happened from the companions, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, it's not يعني, unlawful, but it is allowed. Okay, providing again, nothing enters into the stomach. Also, eye drops, eyeliner, perfume are all allowed during the days of Ramadan. Okay, and this is the opinion of Abu Hanifa, Shafi, Ibn Umar, and Ibn Taymiyyah. Also, from amongst the things I want to remind you of, is you find, for example, on these calendars, these flashy Ramadan calendars, we have a column. And they call this column, after Fajr, or before Fajr, I should say, it's called what? Imsak. 10 minutes before Fajr. This has no basis in the deen of Islam. And we should really remind these people that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Qur'an, remember the white thread and the black thread? What happened to that? Allah didn't mention anything about imsak. So imsak, there is no such thing. So just when you go home, liquid paper it out or do what you want to do to it. Anyway, so this is no such thing. Also, from amongst the things that I want to remind you of, is that Ramadan is a blessed and generous and glorious month. So what are we going to do about it? Has any one of us started to organize a program for Ramadan? Let's go through a quick program of Ramadan. The ideal Muslim and Muslimah should wake up for the suhoor. Have the pre-dawn meal. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who remember Him during the suhoor. Then you pray, you walk to the masjid. And remember, when you walk to the masjid, for every step that you take, there's a hasana. For every step that you take, one sin is taken away. And for every step that you take, you are lifted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your status is lifted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You enter the masjid. And you're going to pray two rak'at, tahiyyatul masjid. And then you sit waiting for the salat and you get rewarded for it. You pray your sunnah, you get rewarded for it. You pray in congregation and you get 27 times the reward of having prayed it at home. Then you sit down, you pick up the Quran and you read the Quran and you remember that for every letter that you read in the Quran, you will get a hasanah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that every letter that you read in the Quran, you get a hasana, and the alif lam mim is not a hasana, but alif is a hasana, lam is a hasana, and mim is a hasana. And you remember Allah until the sun rises. And when the sun rises, and you wait about 10, maybe 15 minutes, you pray two units of prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah, and then he sits, and then he remembers Allah until the sun rises, and he prays too, he will have the reward of Hajj and Umrah, tamma, complete. And then you go home, maybe you have a rest, maybe you go to work. Then you pray the duha prayer. And then comes duhur time. And you make sure throughout the day that you pray your rawatib, the sunnah prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays 12 units in the day and in the night, referring to the sunnah prayers, two before fajr, four before duhur, two after maghrib, two after isha, 12 units, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for him with them a house in Jannah. Also, I remind you to do in your program to add many types of righteous deeds. Sadaqah, charity, qiyam, and the like. And be regular. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved of actions to Allah are those actions which are regular, even though they may be in small amounts. Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is a glorious month because the shaitan, as we said, is chained up. The chiefs of shaitan. And as a result of this, the Muslims achieved many victories during this month. In this noble month, on the 17th day, the Muslims defeated the polytheists in the battle of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his hand so high that the whiteness of his armpits could be seen. And he said, oh Allah, give us victory, because if this band of Muslims should be destroyed, no one will be left on the earth to worship you. So we shouldn't underestimate the battle of Badr. 313 companions fighting and defeating the people of Quraysh. Had it not been for the battle of Badr, you and I perhaps will not be here. It was in the month of Ramadan, this glorious month, that Mecca was conquered. It was in this month that the conquest of Spain, of Constantinople, the conquest of Turkey, Constantinople, took place. It was in this month of Ramadan that the conquest of Spain took place, And this is when Tariq ibn Ziyad, he burnt the ships, and he gave a speech at Gibraltar, at the Jabal al-Tariq in Arabic as it's known, and he said, "Where is your escape? For the enemy is in front of you and the ocean is behind you." And so they went and fought, and this was in Ramadan, and they defeated them and took over Spain. Ramadan is the month of glory because it teaches us Islamic brotherhood and sisterhood. We invite one another to break their fast. We think about the others who are not fortunate as we are, and so we send and we give them food to break their fast. Have you thought, my dear brother and sister in Islam, of attaining the reward of maybe 2, 3, or 4 Ramadans in 1 year? And the way you do this is the Prophet ﷺ said, for every person that you help break their fast, you will get the reward of that person without your reward being diminished. Ramadan is the month of glory because it contains the Taraweeh prayers. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stays up in Ramadan out of iman, staying up in night prayers out of iman and seeking the rewards, his past sins will be forgiven. And you can do these at home, they don't have to be done in the masjid. Ramadan is a month of glory because the Quran, the book of wisdom and healing, was revealed. The Quran was revealed to bring people out from darkness, from the darkness of shirk and polytheism, into the light of tawheed, into the light of la ilaha illallah. It was revealed during a period of widespread sickness, prostitution, adultery, and fornication were rampant. Alcohol consumption was also rampant. Girls used to get buried alive. War was raged over the most trivial of things. The strong oppressed the weak. Usury was practiced, and the most evil of all actions, polytheism. Associating partners to Allah. Those people, they used to circumambulate around the Kaaba naked until the Quran was revealed to rid society of these ailments. So I remind you to read the Quran. I remind you, if you can, to perform Umrah in Ramadan. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever performs Umrah in Ramadan, it is as if he has performed Hajj. And in another narration, it is as if he has performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Finally, Ramadan is a month of glory because it contains Laylatul Qadr. One night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the odd evenings of Ramadan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to tighten his waist belt. In other words, he would not approach his wives, and he would work harder during these last 10 days in search of Laylatul Qadr. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this month is giving us a chance after chance after chance. We learned earlier, man sama Ramadan, whoever fasts Ramadan out of iman and seeking the reward, who have his sins forgiven. And then we learned, whoever stays up in night prayers out of iman and out of reward, he will have his past sins forgiven. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man qama laylatul qadri, whoever stays up during the night of al-qadr, he will have his past sins forgiven. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Laylatul Qadr is better in the sight of Allah in terms of act of worship than a thousand months. 83 years and 4 days and 4 months. Or 30,000 days if we look at 360 days per year. When is it? We don't know exactly when it is. However, a large number of Muslims stipulate that Laylatul Qadr is on the eve of the 27th. And this is based on a number of things. One of the strongest proof for this is the hadith of Ubay found in Muslim, whereby he makes an oath that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded or ordered the people to pray and stand up in night prayer on the night of the 27th. Also, some scholars, they deduce through numbering, through the Quran, that the word here in Laylatul Qadr is the 27th word. So I said, this is when it is. And anyway, we don't base our Quran on numbers, our religion on numbers. If someone told you, if I told you right now that in this next room, there is a person handing out $10,000, Wouldn't you go line up for $10,000? I know I would. So what about Laylatul Qadr? Better than 1,000 months. It can bring you good. Perhaps this night will bring about something which is very good for you in this life and in the hereafter. Perhaps you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts your dua. And it brings you happiness in this life and the hereafter. What do you say on Laylatul Qadr? Aisha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, if it's Laylatul Qadr, what do I say? He said to her to say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are one who pardons, you love to pardon, so pardon me. Does Laylatul Qadr have to be spent in the mosque? No. It is better to be spent in the mosque, but it does not have to be spent in the mosque. You can do it at your home, reading the Quran, dhikr, standing up in prayers. Finally, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and I'll conclude with this, Ramadan is a month of glory because it enables you to gain taqwa. Remember the first ayah we began with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In order that you attain taqwa. And one of the best definitions I have ever come across for taqwa is the following, is that of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who said, التَّقْوَى هُوَ or هِيَ الْخَوْفُ مِنَ الْجَلِيلِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ. Taqwa is to fear the All Magnificent, to act upon the revelation, to act upon the Qur'an, to be satisfied with what little you have, and to prepare yourself for the day of departure. These are the words I leave you. This is or was Ramadan in a nutshell. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وجزاكم الله خيرا.